Call the Mesa City Council meeting for Monday, May 7th to order. We will begin with an invocation by Reverend L. Wilsley, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance led by Brent Sewell from Troop 487. Would you please stand for the invocation and remain stand for the pledge?
Okay.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we live in a country where we could acknowledge the one true God before we do business as a community. We thank you for your presence here with us tonight. We would ask, Lord, that in all of the discussion, we ask, Father, that we would look for peace. We would ask, Father, that we would look for a sense of community. We would ask, Father, that we would be gentle with our words. We would ask, Father, that you would give these men and women wisdom and integrity as they make decisions here tonight that affect so many people. We would ask, Father, once again, that your presence would be made known among us and that we would be respectful of who you are tonight as we have gathered together to do business as a community. And we thank you for this honor and this privilege in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Brent, you want to come forward and lead us in the pledge?
Did you think?
No.
You should have.
I was next. He was the warm-up act.
Repeat after me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nobody else will. What's it saying? God takes care of us.
Reverend Wilsey and Brent Sewell, thank you very much for starting our meeting this evening. Okay, the next item is to read the consent agenda, so we will do that at this time.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 4A, take action on liquor license for the Maya Gualamateca organization for a one-day civic event. Item 4B, take action on New Beer and Weinster license for Fresh and Easy Neighborhood Market, 1202 West University. Item 4C, take action on new restaurant license for Benchwarmers, 801 South Power Road, number 101. Item 4D, take action on new restaurant license for Brunello's, 1954 South Dobson Road. Item 4E, take action on new restaurant license for Chicago Boys Pizza, 3440 East Baseline Road, Suite 102. Item 4F, take action on new restaurant license for Dragonfly Vietnamese Kitchen, 1116 South Dobson Road, Suite 113. Item 4G, take action on new restaurant license for Garcia's Mexican Restaurant, 1940 East University Drive. Item 4H, take action on new restaurant license for Logan's Roadhouse, 945 North Dobson Road. Item 5A, take action on dollar limit increase to service contract for facilities grounds landscape services, $547,288.30 annually. Item 5B, take action on contract for one replacement vehicle, $57,577.60. Item 5C, take action on contract for two replacement pickup trucks, $50,014.34. Item 5D, take action on contract for two heavy-duty trucks with sewer and catch basin cleaning systems, $657,714.36. Item 5E, take action on contract for one replacement advanced relay test set, $53,121.60. Item 5F, take action on contract for RSA secure ID authentication system, $40,938.69. Item 5G, take action on contract for cured in-place wastewater lining, $62,087.80. Item 6A, introduce ordinance for May 21st, amending sections of the Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 6B, introduce ordinance for May 21st, annexation case A06-18, annexing land on northeast corner, Broadway and Hawes. Item 6C, introduce ordinance for May 21st, annexation case A06-33, annexing land on Sossaman north of McDowell. Item 6D, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-15, 8743 East Pecos Road for an office slash warehouse development. Item 6E, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-27, 3800 North Higley Road for an industrial subdivision. Item 6F, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-28, 1350 West Main Street for office retail and townhouse development. Item 6G, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-30, 1300 South Sossaman Road for Costco and future retail development. Item 6H, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-31, 337 South Nina Drive for a rezone. Item 6I, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-32, 5747 East McKellops Road for a retail center. Item 6J, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-33, 8400 East Elliott Road for regional shopping and mixed-use center. Item 6K, introduce ordinance for May 21st, zoning case Z07-34, 1200 South Sossaman Road for a new retail building. Item 6L, introduce ordinance for May 21st, amend Mesa City Code pertaining to civil parking violations. Item 6M has been deleted. Item 7A, take action on resolution for reimbursement of $12,001.25 for regional street improvements. Item 7B, take action on resolution for reimbursement of $7,192.25 for regional street lighting improvements. Item 7C, take action on resolution for reimbursement of $7,790 for regional street lighting improvements. Item 7D, take action on resolution to extinguish a public utilities and facilities easement at 4115 South Clancy Street. Item 7E, take action on resolution to extinguish a drainage easement near the northeast corner of Sun Valley Boulevard and Main Street. Item 7F, take action on resolution to vacate portions of a right-of-way to 1457 North 94th Place. Item 7G, take action on resolution to extinguish two temporary construction easements near Queen Creek and Pecos. Item 7H, take action on resolution to extinguish a public utilities easement at 1553 South Chrisman Road. Item 7I, take action on resolution to extinguish a public utilities easement at 7257 East Greenway Street. Item 7J, take action on resolution to extinguish a public utilities easement at 5030 East Falcon Drive. Item 7K, take action on resolution to extinguish a temporary retention easement at 1919 South Greenfield Road. Item 7L, take action on resolution to extinguish easements at 925 North Harris Street. Item 7M, take action on resolution to execute the Motorola customer service plan for the 800 megahertz radio system. Item 7N, take action on resolution to grant the sale of city-owned property on the northeast corner of McDowell and Wrecker. Item 7O, take action on resolution approving grant application for $225,000 to Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation. Item 7P, take action on resolution approving grant application for $150,000 to Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation. Item 8A has been deleted. Item 8B has been deleted. Item 9A, take action on ordinance amending Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 9B, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-14, 5200 South Sossaman Road for modification to existing Williams Gateway Airport Master Plan. Item 9C, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-24, 8000 East Thomas Road for a single residence subdivision. Item 10A, take action on subdivision plat, Sunset Cove Estates, 1500 North 72nd Street. Item 10B, take action on subdivision plat, Pasadena Estates, 2200 North Center Street. Item 10C, take action on subdivision plat, Citadel Plaza, 5151 East Broadway Road. Item 10D, take action on subdivision plat, Desert Bloom Condominium, 1432 East Knoll Circle. Item 10E, take action on subdivision plat, Broadway 101, Commerce Park, Phase 2, 2200 West Broadway Road. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Okay. As we start this meeting, we have one council member that's called in on the phone, so let me just make sure. Kyle, are you listening to the conversation here?
I'm here.
Okay. We just went through the consent agenda. Are there any items, additional items to remove? For discussion?
Yes, there are, Mayor. We have agenda item 6F, that's Z07-28. That's in the middle of page 7. We have citizens that want to speak to that issue.
Okay. Is that the only one this evening?
Yes, Mayor.
All right. Was there anyone that came this evening that we just read a consent agenda? Those are about to be approved with one motion. Is there anybody else that wanted to discuss one of those items? Because we need a blue card or a show of hands here that you want to take that one off. Okay, then we'll go ahead and entertain a motion for approval of the consent. Have a motion? Somebody want to make a second? Motion by Vice Mayor Walter, seconded by Councilmember Griswold for approval of the consent. Would you please vote? Yep. Oh, sorry, Scott.
Mayor, on item 6J, we're going to leave that on consent, or at least I will. That's a development in my district. I have some concerns about the site plan, particularly the placement of a multi-story hotel, or at least a proposed one. But since this is an introduction and an introduction only, and we will actually consider this at the May 21st meeting, I'll leave that on consent.
So noted. Any other discussion prior to hitting the buttons? Okay, would you please vote?
Oh, back here. Okay.
Councilmember Jones, how do you vote on the consent agenda?
I vote aye.
All right. Okay, and the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Next item is on page 2. This is item 3A. This is to conduct a public hearing prior to the release of the petition for signatures for the following proposed annexations. And we have an annexation in District 6. It's A06-28, annexing land located at the northwest corner of Broadway Road and 82nd Way. This is 0.20 plus or minus acres, initiated by the property owner, James Vanderpool. Are there any requests to speak or address the council on this?
Mayor, I have none.
All right. Was there anyone that came this evening to address the council on this public hearing prior to the release of annexation petitions? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Item number 3.1 is to conduct a public hearing concerning the recommended changes to the development impact fees. Why don't we go ahead and do a little presentation on what the process has been and what we are doing tonight.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Terry Williams, Building Safety Director. In February, the council approved the notice of intent for the city to increase its impact fees and study that was being prepared by Duncan and Associates. Here this evening, joining me also is Jim Duncan, the lead principal of Duncan and Associates, should there be questions from either the council or the attending audience regarding that. One brief note of explanation, item 6M, which was to introduce the ordinance related to the adoption of the impact fees and all of the tables, has been deleted this evening. We found, after some discussion with the Arizona Multi-Housing Association, that there were in fact some miscalculations on some of the unit numbers pertaining to multifamily housing. It will have an impact on the final outcome of those fees, so we have delayed that. That introduction will take place on the 21st of May, and we'll then proceed with the adoptions following 2 weeks following that.
Okay.
Any questions from council?
Why don't you have a seat just in case we have some questions? I do have two speakers.
Very good.
Susan Gilstrap and Lauren Barnett. Follow Susan. Suzanne, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hawker, members of the council, my name is Suzanne Gilstrap. My office is at 815 North First Avenue in Phoenix. I'm here this evening in representation of the Arizona Multi-Housing Association, and first of all, I would like to express my appreciation for you simply holding a public hearing tonight, since we do continue to have remaining questions, and hopefully that will give us the time necessary to work through the information that we are still waiting on. I think we still have a couple of things coming from Terry, so we expect that we'll get those this week. I did want to express some concern, though, about a couple of other things other than the numbers, and I just wanted to sort of get it on the record tonight, and we've had some discussion with Mr. Williams about this. We've not had an opportunity as of yet to speak to your consultant, but we did not find anywhere in the report any consideration or credit given for fund balances in your development impact fee funds. Right now, the December 31 06 report shows that you have $9.1 million in fund balances in the various water, wastewater. You also had some that were shown as negatives, but you do have fund balances. And I did not see anywhere in the report where we're given credit for those fund balances. And it's my belief that we must be given credit for it. So before you can calculate the final fee, once you determine what that fee is supposed to be, then we should receive all credits before the fee is determined. So that's one issue. We've also raised some questions about the difference in the methodology. You've gone from a system buy-in approach to a consumption-based approach. And a consumption-based approach is, I think, oftentimes called something else, but it's not an unusual approach or methodology to use. The issue is that MESA is changing from something that's fairly conservative now to something that's going to be more aggressive. It's going to result in 120% increase in your water rate development impact fees and 106% in your wastewater. Well, that's a significant increase for a developer, particularly those that might happen to be in the pipeline to have to try to absorb. And one of the particular concerns we have with that and in the water, the city right now has existing capacity in its water system. Well, under the buy-in approach, what you've used is the cost for the city to build the infrastructure. When you go to a consumption-based approach, then what you're looking at is what it would cost today, but not what it cost 10 years ago or 5 years ago when you built that system. So I know that the consultant has responded to our concern about that. I guess I would have to say at this point we're not satisfied with that response. We still think that if you've got existing capacity in your system, that you shouldn't be charging tomorrow's price for something that was built 5 years ago. Now, if you're going to build additional capacity, then I think it's fine to impose that at the higher price, but that's still an issue for us.
I need you to wrap up here a little bit.
Okay. One last issue is on vehicles. There's $4.7 million worth of vehicles in the water area, and it's not possible for us to tell whether those are replacement vehicles or new vehicles. If they're replacement vehicles, we would say that that's dollars that should be charged in the water wastewater rate structure. If they're new, then they should be charged to development impact fees. But I think we still need clarification on that. So with that, I'll wrap up my time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Lauren Barnett?
Mayor Hawker, members of the council, good evening. I'm Lauren Barnett. I represent the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona, located at 3200 East Camelback Road in Phoenix. First, I would like to thank city staff for all their work on the impact fees. They do a terrific job and spend a good deal of time reaching out to stakeholders and to the development community. So thank you to city staff. When our association reviews impact fees across the valley, we look for three key elements. First is a general sense of accuracy. Two, fairness to new growth. In other words, new growth should pay its fair share, but not more than their fair share. And third, we look for abidance with state law. With regards to the first two, I'm pleased to report that we think the fees to be fair and accurate and reasonable. But to be clear, a 63% increase in those fees is not something that we take lightly. It's a serious increase that will result in the price of new homes to increase. And certainly this is a challenging time for home builders in Arizona and across America. But at this juncture, we do not have concerns with the following fees: water, wastewater, parks, library, fire, public safety, general government, and the drainage impact fee categories. This leads me to my final topic, the cultural impact fee. Certainly the association's opposition and concern with this impact fee is no surprise to Mayor and Council. We respectfully maintain that it does not meet the intent of state law, which requires that impact fees provide a necessary public service. again, a necessary public service. In closing, we appreciate the city working with the industry and appreciate their hard work, and I would be happy to take any questions from Mayor and Council.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Discussion on this? Anyone? This is the time for public hearing. Any council comments at this point? We also have it on 6M later. Councilmember Griswold.
The Terry is available. The buy-in methodology, does it usually utilize credits? I've never seen it in the past. These are projects in the pipeline we're going to be building. I've never seen credits come into it one way or the other. That's money collected that's going to be spent on projects.
Mayor Hawker, Councilmember Griswold, the credits that Ms. Gostrap has asked concerning is a request for credit for the current balances that are in the impact fees that have been collected on projects that have already been permitted, but monies that have not been expended by the city in those specific areas. It's extremely curious to us. I'm at a loss as to argue the point in any additional effort than what I tried to on Friday to her, is that those are monies that were appropriately collected from projects that have already been permitted. It just hasn't been expended by the city in those specific areas. I don't believe that there's ever been a calculation of the credit in the fashion in which she is requesting it of Mesa.
Rex, let me follow up on that line. I was thinking, is there an interest carry? I mean, the city obviously can invest that money. What happens to the interest portion as it's in that account?
Both the state statute and the current Mesa ordinance requires that the interest that's accrued by those accounts stays in that account and gets expended in that same specific area, cultural, water, wastewater, police, fire.
So it does get credited to that account, any interest that is
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments? Vice Mayor.
Since this item was deleted on, is it 6M?
Yes.
Since 6M was deleted and we're changing the, you know, we discovered some errors in there, and I appreciate the work you did on that, Terry. Thank you so much. This will be brought back to us with a new set of numbers in there, so then it will be introduced at that point in time, and we'll go back through the hearing process again. How does that work with the hearings?
Mayor Hawker, Vice Mayor Walters, we will be back on the 21st, as we expect to right now, with those series of ordinances, which will have the new fees. That will be a regular ordinance. Those fees will be revised. We're certain of that. We don't think it'll change dramatically. However, the balance of the report will only have minor edits to it. Council will then, 2 weeks after the introduction of that, be able to act on those. The caveat is that in order, if there are changes to the fees, which we are expecting, then the fees go down. We are within the current notice that's already been given with the 60-day process. It would not be possible for us to increase those fees. So if we made a mistake, there was an error that should have resulted in a higher fee than we've already posted, we would not be able to do that without going back through the hearing process.
Okay, so it'll come back for introduction. So if somebody wants to speak at the introduction, it'll come back then?
Or the adoption.
Or at the adoption 2 weeks following that.
June 4th.
Okay,
correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, and I appreciate the change in methodology. This is something that I studied back in I think 1986 out of Florida. And I think that, you know, the concept of having new growth pay for itself is absolutely what we want to do. But what we were doing is that as we had built capacity, they were buying into capacity that was built at 10, 15 year ago price tags. And it's not doing the increment of what does it take to build another unit of capacity at today's prices. And we just spent $150 million on a wastewater treatment plant that's not being fully utilized by any means, and there may be a place in the city where somebody could actually use capacity off from another wastewater treatment plant if we did divided the city into components. So the new increment for the with steel and concrete and everything else and the line replacements, or not line replacements, but the new construction to me, is the way you should evaluate it. So I appreciate switching over to this methodology because I think we get far closer to full cost recovery for what it costs to how is the next unit of development that comes into the town. If you did everything right up to capacity and then you start and you jump to a whole new funding level, I'm not sure that that makes for good governance and good capacity constraints to make sure that you don't ever reach capacity and have to turn somebody off. So I congratulate the new methodology.
And I want to pass that congratulations along to our consultant, Mayor. It was their ideas that have helped us lead us in this direction.
All right. And I am not shocked that we could have 120 or 60% increases because I've seen what's taken place in the construction industry, cost of energy, everything else, and I really think that those costs should be borne by those new citizens that move into our community. So I will, as this comes back, I'll be looking favorably on it. The cultural impact fee issue, having broken that out and putting it into parks, I guess we could talk about whether impact fees meet constitutional requirements of the Act, and that would probably be a legal discussion. I just like to, if we're going to do it, have it separate and unique and distinct. So if you want to identify what it is, what components, what it funds, it's very easy to identify as opposed to putting into the whole Parks and Rec program. So I'm glad that we're separating that back out so we can see exactly what that cultural fee is. Also, the new Art Center not being part of that, not being in the basis of the adjustment, I also agree on, because I think that was a one-time City of Mesa election with a half-cent sales tax to build it, and I don't think that should be a burden on the new residents as they come in. That was something that's been fully paid for and is, has no debt service to it. And the other one that I've discussed is I don't think we should value gifts to the Mesa Museum, and I know those have also been pulled out. So I appreciate you listening to the direction and implementing into your fee structure. Any other comments at this point? Okay, then this is to conduct a public hearing. If there are no other requests to speak, I'll close the public hearing. The next item is on page 5. We would be on 5H. This is a bus stop mini shelter site preparation, City of Mesa project. This is the project will prepare 27 sites with the necessary concrete surface improvements so the mini storages, mini shelters, I'm sorry, can be installed with city crews. And the award is for a total of $104,747.50. And recommended low builder, Tylus Construction Corporation. And the project will be funded with local transportation assistance funds, LTAF, and quality of life funds, split 50-50. Councilmember Rawls, you have an issue with this one?
It's just my traditional no vote on transit stuff.
Okay. Any other discussion on 5H? Vice Mayor.
Rex had a question downstairs about, and we didn't have an answer. They were going to get an answer for us up here. So everybody heard the question. I think you might have heard the answer downstairs, but I think everybody else needs to hear it.
My only question was, we were making a straight jacket on that. We approved this list of projects, this amount of money. If you wanted to move a bus shelter to another area or you had a better need, was that flexibility built into this vote? And the answer is yes. If something changed or an area, one of these could be substituted in another area that needs it more. So I'm comfortable with that answer.
Okay. And we're hoping that they don't put a shelter up on a place that doesn't have a line yet. I think that happened once, right? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Entertain a motion on this one then. I have a Vice Mayor's motion for approval. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Whalen. If there's no further discussion, would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
Aye.
All right. The vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay. Next item is on page 7. This is item 6F. This was removed this evening, and this is, are these introductions? This is the introduction of an ordinance in setting May 21st for the public hearing on it. And this is a zoning case at 1350 West Main Street. We have a request to speak on that. Are these part of it?
I guess.
All right. Okay, David Seward, followed by Joan L. Woods, and Bob Hankins. Hanks would be third. Mr. Stewart? Again, we'll hear this case and vote on it on May 21st. Please.
I'm David Stewart. I live at 1401 West Pepper Place. My house faces North Standage, and I am amazed that you would close Standage because it runs from 8th Street to Main Street, and it's a very busy highway. And the other pew, Stewart, Rogers, and Brooks only run one block from Main to Pepper Place. As a matter of fact, Standage has stop signs on Pepper Place so that Standage has the right of way. So therefore, I would ask that you do not close Standage. And thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Joan Woods.
Thank you for this chance. I'm Joanne Woods, and I live at 1401 West Pepper Place. I've lived there for over 40 years. And now, do you have the handout sheets that I prepared for each member? Good. Well, I won't go into those because those are enumerated. And but I would like to just state that the townhouse project, if it's voted on, we lose half of our property. We lose security. And in fact, just as an example, here is a brick wall that we just finished building and for security that cost $12,000. And just right after it was built, then Dan Randall came and said, well, guess what? We want you to move it. We want to use your front yard for a cul-de-sac or to block off Standage. And many, many cars constantly use Standage to get to Maine or to get to First and Second and University and so forth. Now, this is an example of a blocked off street. Look at the eyesore. Do you really want that? And this is what they also suggest, to block off Standage. So please take a few minutes of your time at your leisure and read my objections. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Bob Hanks.
I oppose it very much.
We gathered that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Hanks. And Gregory Woods is next, followed by Tom Comer.
Mr. Mayor and council members, my name is Bob Hanks. I reside at 1509 West Pepper Place, Mesa. Not only am I against the closure of Standage, which is a main artery with stop signs on Pepper to help prevent the speed demons coming through at midnight and using the speed humps for jump ramps, a stop sign there at least stops them between the two ramps that's been built on our street. But also I'm opposed to the construction of high-rise, high-density buildings along that way in the one area for two or three reasons. Well, actually 15 on my list that I handed out. And one is the density of population with no parking. There'll be parking down on Pepper, and there'll be parking on all the side streets they can find. And the next stage of this will be, obviously, to move right along toward Longmore and do the same type building construction on top of all of the motels that are there, which are all outdated, and put high rises all along the whole area. My backyard will be in shade. I won't be able to have a backyard. It'll be no sunlight. And I'm opposed to them looking over the back fence into my yard. High density like that is going to bring in more problems. And the way it looked like to me when I first saw it 2 days ago at the neighborhood meeting, I don't see that there's been any planning whatsoever in the construction of this and what it's going to impact us with. So I'm opposed to changing the zoning. I'd rather remain commercial. In fact, you could have a whole row of secondhand stores surrounded on each end of that project with a check cashing place, as far as I'm concerned. And that way you would have one little area where everybody could get together and be plenty of parking in front of them and storage in the back for all the vehicles that they confiscate. And everybody could have a good time. I relinquish any other time for anybody or any questions you might have. But I won't be here on the 21st, but I'd like my document there to go on the record as my opposition to the entire project, okay. And especially for the closing of Standish.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hanks. Gregory Woods.
Mayor Hawker, Vice Mayor Walters, and council members, I appreciate this opportunity to speak. I realize it's unusual to ask for an introduction of a zoning ordinance to be taken off the consent agenda. But I want to explain that a little bit. My name is Gregory Woods, and I reside at 1426 West Pepper Place. I'm here tonight representing the Pepper Place neighborhood, a registered neighborhood with the city. We object to the introduction of ordinance Z07-28 at this time. We feel the introduction of this ordinance is premature, because the viability of this proposal depends on certain agreements being made with adjacent landowners, and those agreements have not been entered into. In addition, there have been insufficient time to adequately prepare the site plan for introduction before the council. When this ordinance was presented to the Planning and Zoning Board, the city staff recommendation was for a continuance. We feel that that was a prudent recommendation in that the initial site plan presented certain concerns. Among the concerns of staff were, number one, the site plan has a linear pattern of development resulting in a tunnel effect. The applicant has not mitigated this. Number two, the site plan presents drive aisle conflicts. Number three, the buffer to the existing neighborhood on the north and east are insufficient. Number four, the standard street abandonment. This is probably the worst sticking point. The viability of this proposal depends entirely on the abandonment of Standish Street from Main to Pepper Place. North of the project, Standish right-of-way would be deeded to two adjacent homeowners. The applicant has not entered into written agreements with those homeowners specifying the terms and conditions concerning the abandonment. We feel the applicant should not be coming before the council with a zoning request until these agreements have been finalized. In addition, the neighbors have unaddressed concerns. Among them are, number one, inadequate parking. Number two, traffic congestion. Number three, lack of privacy. Number four, inferior security. Number five, a lack of written draft of HOA regulations. Number six, conversion of commercial space to residential use in the mixed-use units. Unfortunately, after meeting with neighbors and hearing their concerns, the applicant did not modify the site plan. In addition, the site plan does not address concerns of staff. As a neighborhood, we are not all opposed to this development. In fact, some of us are very supportive of it. However, we feel the site plan still needs work and that the applicant should have the needed agreements with adjacent landowners in hand before coming to the council for zoning. Therefore, we suggest that this ordinance not be introduced at this time, but that the project be referred back to staff for further refinement. This project will be a model of future infill projects that will occur on West Main. Therefore, it is vital to us that this project be as successful as it can be. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Tom Comer.
Mayor, Council, my name is Tom Comer. I reside at 1418 West Pepper Place. I request that item 6F, Z07, be taken off the consent agenda. I object to the ordinance Z101728 at this time. Planning and zoning recommended denial, but that wasn't in their ability at that particular time, and the best they could do is vote for a continuance. The site plan needs a lot of tweaking in order to make it work. The removal of standage would create a hardship to our neighborhood to the north of us and on Pepper Place. It would issue a lot of traffic. It would kill two businesses, existing businesses, S&S automotive repair and Logan's. It would create a hardship for them for how their business operates. There would be there's inadequate parking for this, for the mixed use. There's not enough parking for the mixed use, the business part of it, and the interior people. It is being promoted as something that would be supportive of light rail, but however, we've got the amount of parking that we have there now, you know, is two cars in every garage, so it doesn't seem like it's really going to fit that light rail plan that well. The commercial part of this aspect is is not written in stone that it must remain commercial. It can be taken over as a residential part and not used for commercial. For my neighbors that are going to back right up to it, there's a very small buffer zone. It can't be high enough in order to afford them privacy. It can't be wide enough with the density that's proposed there. There's no good HOA regulations. It leaves an open-ended plan to where this would be more of an apartment complex versus an owner-occupied facility that the owners would be in, where it would be considered condos and used along that. And at this time, I would request that it be removed from the agenda and that it be voted down on May 21st. Thank you.
Okay. Diane Woods, followed by Carson Coffett.
Can Carson go before me?
If Carson's agreeable, I am. Carson, please.
Mayor, Council, I don't need to come back up here and basically reiterate what everybody else has already said. My name is Carson Kofelt, and I do live at 1425 West Pepper Place. My backyard is going to butt right up against the backside of this proposed development. I don't do any nude sunbathing or anything like that, but I still would like to have at least an inkling of some kind of privacy. A two-story building less than 30 feet from my back fence, which is only 6 feet tall, ain't gonna afford me very much privacy. I think it's ill-conceived, and they're trying to push this through with too many open ends that are just simply not being addressed. All the entrances and exits to this entire complex of 57 units, two vehicles, even if you are super conservative. If you're going to buy a three-bedroom house, how do you figure only two vehicles are going to exist? Not today, I don't think so. But all the entrances and exits to this entire complex, as far as the residential part goes, all comes off of the little short one-block street called Rogers. that's right by my side of my house. That's just what I need, another 300 cars on a daily basis going up and down there at a minimum. Not to mention the night traffic we have for other reasons there we can't seem to get rid of as it is. I think the misconception is that this neighborhood is against the redevelopment of this area. That is not true. We are totally in favor of trying to upgrade the entire area. Jumping from a single family home type neighborhood, I don't know what it's actually called in your language, to this kind of population density with a 30-foot buffer is not exactly what I envisioned the city as having put down years ago about making transitions from one style or from one density to another. On our block, there's maybe 20 people, and now they're proposing that we put hundreds within 30 feet in basically the same square footage. Doesn't exactly sound much like a transition. Sounds like we're being pushed. I would suggest that at the very least, try to redesign it, make it something that's more feasible to work with what already exists there as far as residences go, or simply leave it as commercial and let it develop in that respect with the city's, you know, control, so we don't end up with the motels all over again. But I don't think this is, I think it's ill-conceived the way it's proposed now without an awful lot of tweaking. Thank you.
Thank you. Diane Woods.
Am I the last one?
Diane, you're up.
Diane Woods, 1426 West Pepper Place. We have had a few meetings with the neighbors, and like you've heard, some are in favor of it. Actually, a lot of people are in favor of it, but I don't know of anyone who has seen the project so far who wants it to go forward as it's done. The city staff has come up with a lot of good ideas. Planning and zoning has come up with a lot of good ideas that will help improve it. And I really think this project could go and help the neighborhood if we have some time and help with the city staff to make it a really good project. And I've been told that a lot of the concerns and problems can be solved with landscaping and architecture, so I'm hoping that can be done. And I do appreciate the developer wanting to leave a legacy in our neighborhood and making something good, and I really think city staff and planning and zoning has some great ideas. Actually, I agree with some of the developers' ideas over theirs, but I would like to have a little more time to really get it right and not have it go through and then have it changed or something later that can be in a negative but changed in a positive way. This is really an important project. I know what the city would like to do in that area and up and down Main Street, and if this project is done right, then it will help the other projects. The same problems we have in our neighborhood, well, most of the same problems we have in our neighborhood, others up and down Main Street will have. And if we can get this solved and done right now, then it will help everyone else in the future. And hopefully we'll get more projects like similar to this, but with the problem solved. And anyway, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Diane. Are there any other requests to speak on 6F? Do you have any?
I have none, Mayor.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead and close the public comment on this. And this is just for introduction. Is there a motion or a discussion by council? We have a motion by Council Member Rawls for the approval to introduce this for consideration on May 21st. Is there a second? And second by Council Member Whalen. Discussion, comments? Vice Mayor.
Yeah. I think we can go ahead and introduce this and still continue to work with it. As a matter of fact, I think that that's what needs to happen. And then we can reintroduce it if we need to. In other words, if the modifications that take place need to be modified in the zoning, as opposed to modifications that address issues such as agreements with the neighbors and those kinds of things, which do not need to be in here. But this gives us an opportunity to move forward. I did not see the developer. Yes, I do. I do see him. I was going to say, I think he left. I think he heard what was said. I think he heard some things he needs to work on. His attorney and he can meet with people and see if there's a way of getting these issues resolved in the next 2 weeks. If not, the council has the ability to continue it when it comes up again. But this would allow it to go forward if those things can be resolved.
Okay. Councilmember Biswell.
Yeah, I heard some good questions that the developers that I thought were resolved. One, the wall between the Stewarts, the offer to build a brand new wall for them, take out a cul-de-sac and give them a bigger front yard with a new wall in it. Those things sounded reasonable. If there's not an agreement signed, there probably needs to be an agreement signed. Most people would like a bigger front yard, maybe they wouldn't. That's between, you know, them. Most people that I, in my neighborhood, don't want traffic rushing through. One of the ways I've tried to is, you know, we build streets every few feet and wonder why people, you know, rush through them all the time. It seems to be one way to reroute traffic and slow it down. I don't know if that's true or not and cut that down. Those are all good questions. The S&S business, whether those are access points, et cetera. So those are things to look at, to consider. We have some time. We can continue it. But I'll be looking into some of those questions I heard tonight. So thank you.
Any other questions? Councilmember Jones, do you have any comments on 6F at this time?
I see no problem with continuing with the introduction, but I do see a need to continue working on it.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, then I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Whalen for approval of the introduction. Would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Next item is on page 12, item 7G.
I'm sorry, 7Q,
if you're following along on page. No, I saw that earlier. This is endorsing the creation of Summer Mesa Irrigation Water Delivery District. I know this was a topic for the study session on Thursday. And we have two requests to speak, Scott Granger and Robert Brenton. Scott? And I appreciate you're going to be the spokesperson for the HOA Association this evening, so we don't have to have everyone come forward. I'll give you a little extra time if you need it.
Okay, thank you. Judging by the previous discussions on this, we might just need it. Mm-hmm. There's been some interesting debate on this. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to speak on the part of our Homeowners Association, the Summer Mesa Homeowners Association. I'm the chairman for the Irrigation Water Delivery District Committee. And what that means is, after several meetings and votes amongst our homeowners association, in all cases having at least, in two cases, 100% participation and agreement, and the other case there might have been a couple of nays, but everybody else was in support of this, we decided that the best solution to many of our problems as far as irrigation goes in our subdivision was to form an irrigation water delivery district. That means we've actually decided we're willing to tax ourselves to accomplish some of our goals. And we think it will solve several issues. And the reason we've come to the council requesting this resolution is that's what the state law requires us to do. We have to go to you before we can go to the county, and we're looking for your acceptance of that. We made our formal request for a resolution last September. Since then, the city has prepared a report that we agree with. We think the report was very well done and it covers all of the issues of concern to us. But we have three major issues we think that accomplishing an irrigation district will help us with, far more than our current ability to do so. One is accounts payable, one is accounts receivable, and the other is manpower. Now, accounts payable situation is when we in the past have hired contractors to make repairs for us, we haven't always had the funds available to pay them, which is not wise. And in some cases, we have actually delayed getting repairs or thought we had the money to pay them when in fact we may not have. And that's not fair to the contractors. It makes them a little reluctant to do work for us in the future. So we'd like to get that resolved. The other is accounts receivable. Accounts receivable meaning right now, we have limited ability to collect money from people that just flat don't want to pay. We have 19 people out of 74 homeowners that currently owe money. 18, I take that back. One of them paid me when I ran around with a petition that we did as a result of Councilmember Griswold's discussion at the last study session. By the way, we have managed to get 58 signatures on that petition as of today in response to your request. But the accounts receivable, we have as a homeowners association that's not a formal homeowners association, very limited ability to make collections. Right now, our total owed is $4,500 in round numbers. And that amount, although not seeming to be a very large amount relative to everything else that goes on here, I'm sure, it's enough to basically pay 1 year's fees related to the irrigation repair work on the average. Sometimes it's much higher and sometimes it's a little bit lower. We firmly believe that as unfortunate as it may be to talk about a tax, and particularly for a libertarian such as myself, that's exactly what we're doing. We've agreed to do this as a group, and we think it would resolve many of our problems. The third area is manpower. Without the ability to contract on a short term with contractors to make repairs, we're stuck. We end up with getting letters like we did recently from SRP telling us that they would shut off the irrigation system until we managed to get the thing fixed. We got it fixed, but we didn't do it through a contractor per se. We ended up doing quite a bit of the work, well, a few of the individuals in the irrigation and the homeowners association did the work. And that's the way it seems to be many times. So it'll also help us with manpower. Now, as far as the city goes, if we do this, it's been SRP's experience, and they're actually the ones, when we went to them to talk to them about this, they were in full support of us forming a district, because it's their experience that groups that form irrigation water delivery districts have better response to repairs, and we have, as a result, fewer problems with street flooding, neighbors flooding, adjacent properties flooding, as we just did recently where we flooded the school next to one of the homes. So that's another issue, and with that, we've submitted the request. We have the impact statement ready to go to the county, all we need, and through the county we'll do the petitioning process, of course. The one we just did was informal. We're requesting that the city approve our request for a resolution.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Robert Brenton. Okay. I missed seeing that on the card, Robert. I see it now. Are there any other requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Mayor.
Okay. Then council discussion or a motion? Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, Mr. Granger had approached me quite some time ago on this issue, and I appreciate your patience and understanding while we go through this. I think it's interesting that when we look at these water districts, unbeknownst to the city and I think a number of cities in the county, that these districts have existed inside of city limits and been governing their water needs for some time, better part of a decade or more, without any problems. one of the concerns we had are some of the government powers that these districts have. And so when we looked at case history and competition between cities and IWDDs, when we looked at case history for any problems or relationship issues between a city and a water district, we found none. Right now, just recently, as a matter of fact, I received an email, I think the entire council did, on some water problems that were being generated on the street, causing some street flooding and erosion. Those problems were from irrigation in an area that didn't have a district. So as these systems break down, they have the potential to create problems for all of our citizens and all our taxpayers, and that is having to repair streets and property that is damaged from flooding. My position here isn't to determine whether this is good for the neighborhood or not. It's really to see if there are going to be any problems for the city related to it. And I didn't see any. As a matter of fact, I do see some benefit with having a system that right now has nobody maintaining it other than a few folks who have been putting blood, sweat, and tears into it. But on the other hand, given the powers of government that these things have, I think, and I told you this in our first meeting, I will approve this, and as a matter of fact, I will make a motion to that effect. But if I were in the neighborhood, I would probably vote against it. I think you have a right, as a neighborhood, I think you have a right to consider this, to consider this as an option and make that determination yourselves. I'm not so thrilled with the idea if this were in my neighborhood with doing so. I prefer to have the HOA do it, but that's not my decision. That's your decision. And I'll respect that, and as far as what I see for the city, I see very little risk for us. So I'll make a motion, Mr. Mayor, to approve.
Okay. There's a motion and second for approval. Other discussion? Councilmember Griswold.
I think this sort of curious form of government by the people, for the people.
To solve a public problem. So I'll be in favor of it. And it's their vote, what they want to do in their community to solve this problem. I'm willing to support it.
Okay. I had the opportunity to watch the council discussion on this when I was out of town last Thursday back in D.C. doing some lobbying work. And I started with the feeling that there was no way that I wanted the city of Mesa to get involved in administering a flood irrigation district and trying to settle a dispute for some neighbors that weren't paying their fees. And I still feel that way. Actually, I think that if you have an HOA and you've got the ability to lock the gate or file some type of legal action, and I understand there's a period of time it takes to collect the money, but I think that's what that type of association is for. And I just don't want to put the city of Mesa in the position of having to be the one that does the legal work against it, for one, and forecloses, I guess, on the house at some point if it got to that point. And I'm not sure what triggers that, how much time frame for not being paid. But I am not in favor of supporting us being the advisory body over irrigation districts that should be run by HOAs, and they should use their legal expertise to solve their own problems and not come to the city. So I'm not going to be supporting it this evening. Councilmember Rollins.
Mayor, as we promised on Thursday, Scott and I finally had a chance to talk, and I told him that if the application that was being made to us was from anyone else in Arizona, probably that'd have been a very quick and easy no, but the fact that he thinks like I do on a lot of other issues made me think hard about what was going on. But I come down to, and Rex, you didn't mean to do this, but you actually, I think, identified the reason why I can't support this. And this isn't government of the people by the people for a public good. It's government being used to resolve a civil collection matter, and the HOA has mechanisms available to it. I'm just not willing to give to a group of neighbors the power of government to resolve their collection issues. So I think that's really what's going on here, so I will vote no.
Okay. Councilmember Jones, you want to weigh in on this one?
I would love to weigh in on this one. I was on the losing vote when we were in committee on this. First of all, when we're talking about this, we strip everything else away because it's not a matter of fixing the flooded streets. You're not going to be able to regulate individuals not getting up in the night and turning on their water. When the system breaks down, it's a private system, and the residents who use it have every ability to fix it and correct it so that their water will not be shut off by the provider, whether it's SRP or Roosevelt. But it, when you strip it all down, it comes to a collection factor, and yes, you do have deadbeats who aren't going to pay their bill, and it's much easier to do it this way, much more efficient, it's much more balanced and fair. But as I said before, my concern is not this particular group, but I'm worried about when they're not the ones who are in charge, or another group, when you set a precedent and they start being able to set up irrigation districts and you don't have a proven oversight. The county hasn't been overseeing this as well as they should. When we had the discussion before, you don't have complete committees as it is spelled out in the law. I congratulate these folks for being the ones who have really studied it and educated the county on what the law is. But right now the county isn't overseeing it correctly. And if it were just this group and this group alone, I could support it. But I'm worried about setting the precedent in other neighborhoods and other people who may not understand it as well. And until the county has the right oversight, I can't support it. And for that reason, I'll be voting no.
Okay, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I see this a little differently. First of all, I do appreciate the work that was done on this, and I was very much in line with what Kyle just said until the last week. I appreciate the work that Mr. Granger did on this. We have a number of these in the city of Mesa that were not created the way the statute outlines. We discovered that they existed. Those folks had gone to the county approved it. I see this more along the lines of what happens to us when we get a request for a liquor license. We aren't being asked to create a law in the state that allows for this to take place. The law exists. People, the use of water in the state of Arizona has historically been one of the most significant things that happens. What we're being, in my opinion, what we're being asked to do is to convey to the county whether or not this has a negative impact on the city of Mesa, not whether or not my philosophy is that I wouldn't want to live in a place that had a water district, or whether or not, which is I think what Scott was making reference to, Councilmember Summers was making reference to, but whether or not this would have a negative impact on the city of Mesa. Have they met the requirements under the statute? As far as I can see, they've met those requirements. They have put all these things together. They can go to the county. It would not be the city, if people fail to pay things, this is done through the county just as school taxes are. What we are doing is we are saying, in my opinion, saying yay or nay like we do when something comes to us in regards to a liquor license. Whether or not I believe in liquor or liquor licenses or anything else, have they met the criteria of the law? And so so I am going to support the motion for approval on this.
Okay. I was kind of hoping the Boy Scouts would still be here because we're now at 3-3 and we can look to Councilmember Whalen.
Thank you, Mayor. I was not here Thursday for the full discussion, but I have had a chance to read the entire file. It's a difficult decision. I am very concerned about, what's the word I'm looking for? Allowing the use of eminent domain and being in support of the use of eminent domain when it comes to a citizen group of neighbors. I realize that is something that probably is not going to happen in this particular neighborhood. I'm very much along the lines of Councilmember Jones in my thoughts, except for the fact that we have two functioning districts within the city now that I did not even know existed. One of them is a neighbor of my subdivision. My subdivision does not have an HOA. My subdivision has irrigation. And every day another member of my community drops out of the irrigation program and seals up their pipes, and therefore continual problems occur. What I am concerned about is the day that the pipes break under the street. And how is someone going to get together and garner the $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 that the city is going to require to have that repaired? So I think this is a method for it to work. I'm going to trust the citizens of our community to make it work, and therefore I'll be in support.
Okay. I have a motion by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Griswold for approval of endorsing the creation of the Summer Mesa Irrigation Water Delivery District. If there's no further discussion, would you please vote? Okay, Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
Nay.
Okay, the vote is 4 aye and 3 nay, so it does pass. All right, the next item is on page 14. This is item 11, items from citizens present. As we have it on our agenda, this is for a maximum of 3 speakers for up to 3 minutes. We do this kind of on a first-come, first-served basis. I know there are several people that came this evening to address the council. We also have the opportunity on our Thursday study sessions for pre-schedule. So if you want to speak on Thursday, you could actually, 48 hours in advance, a note to the city clerk? What's the time frame on that?
They don't request it from the city clerk, Mayor. It's actually the city manager's office.
Right.
Carla, what's the time frame?
For, is it 24, 48? Tuesday at noon. So if you, So if you want to get something in by tomorrow at noon, you can also address the council. If you don't have an opportunity this evening, you can do that on Thursday at our study session. So would you read off the names of the first 3 so we can have them address the council?
Yes, I will, Mayor. The first speaker is Frank Alger.
Mayor, City Council, thank you again. My name is Frank Alger. I live at 1009 North April in Mesa. I just want to give you an update on the Mesa Veterans Day Parade again. We do have, and I do believe each one of you have one of the flyers, we do have another fundraiser coming up for that. Again, if anybody wants to have any details on it, they can go to www.mesaveterans.org to find out the information and what's going on to raise support for the Mesa Veterans Day Parade. We do have our EIN, employer identification. It's 32-0200228. So we are, we got all our paperwork done for a nonprofit and for the IRS and everything, so we are now a tax deductible corporation. And I just want to give the council an update. I do also, again, want to address Councilmember Rawls. Again, Tommy Lasorda said something that was very good, I thought, and he said, free speech is when you speak. Disrespecting the flag is conduct, and that kind of conduct should not be in this venue. You should, that's really conducting yourselves. Woodrow Wilson said, this flag which we honor, under which we serve, is the emblem of our unity, our power, our thought, and purpose as a nation. It has no other character than that which we give it from generation to generation. And President Woodrow Wilson said that in 1917. We need to continue to give that symbol the power, because it is a powerful symbol throughout the world. And again, I just I disagree with your stand. I disagree with your conduct, Mr. Rawls. That's all I have to say for today. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom?
Mayor, thank you. I have struggled with how to respond to the bi-monthly, not so much from Frank, because he's at least courteous when he does it, but I have decided on my chosen form of response, and it'll take a couple of minutes. But since our last meeting on April 16th,
Let me just interrupt just a second. If anyone during the public comment addresses something specifically to a council member, they have the right to respond back. We can also send it over to the city manager's office to get a response at a later date, depending on the nature of it. So that's why Tom has this ability.
And I appreciate that, Mayor. Since our last meeting on April 16th, 67 American soldiers have died in Iraq. The names of 13 of those soldiers have not yet been released. However, I ask all of you, if you are so inclined, to stand with me in honor of the supreme sacrifice made by all 67 of these brave men and women as I read the names of the 54 whose names we know.
Private First Class Jerome Potter, Sergeant Felix Gonzalez Irahita, Private First Class John Flores, Staff Sergeant Kobe Schwab, Specialist Kelly Groth, Specialist Matthew Bowler, First Lieutenant Colby Umbral, Specialist Andrew Weiss, Private First Class Katie Sokinson, First Lieutenant Ryan Jones, Specialist Astor Sunson Panetta, Lance Corporal Jonathan Kirk, Private First Class Zachary Gullett, First Lieutenant Travis Mannion, Staff Sergeant Jay Martin, Sergeant Alexander Fuccione, Private First Class Brian Botello, Sergeant Norman Tallett, Sergeant Glenn Hicks, Private First Class Jay Ormsby Atkins, Private Cole Spencer, Sergeant Michael Hollander, Sergeant William Callahan, Sergeant Peter Woodall, Private First Class Nicholas Ryle, Specialist Eddie Tamez, Private First Class David Kirkpatrick, Corporal Christopher DeGionovan, Corporal William Celestine, Lance Corporal Adam Loggins, Specialist Jeremy Marish, Lance Corporal Dale Peterson, Sergeant Bryce Pearson, Sergeant Randall Marshall, Specialist Jerry King, Staff Sergeant Kenneth Locker, Specialist Michael Rodriguez, Staff Sergeant William Moore, Sergeant Michael Vaughn, Private First Class Garrett Knoll, First Lieutenant Kevin Gaspers, Private First Class Jeffrey Avery, Staff Sergeant Marion Harper, Private Michael Slater, Sergeant William Bushnell, Staff Sergeant Stephen Tudor, Private First Class Christopher North, Corporal Ray Bevel, Lance Corporal Jeffrey Bishop, Chief Warrant Officer Dwayne Moore, Private First Class Jason Morales, Corporal Wade Oglesby, Corporal Michael Rojas, and Private First Class Richard Langenbrunner. Thank you all.
Okay, the next speaker, please.
Richard Tracy, Senior.
Good evening, Mayor Hocker. Last Friday, about 5:10, I was on Jefferson between 3rd and 4th Avenue, and I watched as express buses and limited buses loaded up. Every 10 minutes, a new bus, express bus to various places, the north side and south side of Phoenix. I understand Glendale is about to do that also. 5:30, I got in my car and I drove to Mesa, and it took me an hour and 5 minutes to go 17 miles. I want to address the fact that we're not planning on park and ride. They're planning on putting 24 lanes down in the Tempe area where 60 and 10 join. When a simple making a left turn from the left lane could probably eliminate half of the knot that's tangled there. As you know, I've supported this city quite a bit, but the city and the county are the worst offenders in causing traffic jams, in not taking into consideration the additional transportation required. They consolidate 24 JP courts, put them in 6 locations, which means people have to travel a greater distance, workers have to travel a greater distance, and when you figure it out at the end of the year, nobody has come out ahead because the person doing that driving is a taxpayer that has to be compensating, buying a $30,000 automobile, doing the paying for the roads and all that. I think it's time that Mesa and Maricopa County recognize that it's not 1950 anymore. They're larger than some states. The cities are larger than many counties, and decentralization is necessary. Now, I've been considerate of the city and worked on projects, and I'm sure that somebody should think about Park and Ride out of Riverview and Waveland, a perfect location for Park and Ride. I experienced that back in the 50s when I lived in Long Island. The former site of the World's Fair was used as Park and Ride, and I rode a bus and a subway every day to school. But also, when I applied for a very simple zoning permit and brought photographs, explained to the gentleman what I wanted, I left my application there. They said they'd be in touch with me. I find out this morning, nobody's even looked at it. 12 days before they even look at the simple application for a zoning permit or a building permit, when somebody could have summarily sat down and said, here's the problem, or there's no problem, and I could have not wasted these past 12 days waiting for somebody to call me.
I need you to wrap it up.
Thank you.
And our third speaker?
Last speaker, Mayor, is Greg DeBorse.
Greg, you have 3 minutes.
All right, now. First of all, my name is Greg DeBorse, and I live at 2512 South Jefferson Avenue, and that's in Mesa. I just want to tell you about the news that I heard about public transportation being in jeopardy of being gotten rid of here in Mesa. And I just want to tell you that when you get rid of public transportation in Mesa, especially on a Saturday basis, and especially in a place where you have people who otherwise are not ready to have a vehicle, people who are otherwise cannot afford a vehicle, and then you also have people who otherwise just cannot, just don't have the financial financial funds to depend on someone to take people to and fro, it just sends a negative message that that we don't give a damn about you. And for you to get rid of public transportation, especially on a Saturday basis, that's the message that you're gonna send. And with this in mind, I would like to tell you that if you get rid of Saturday service and dial a ride, then there's gonna be a whole lot of mass people on your fannies, just like Bob Barker on Price is Right, or Dick Clark on American Bandstand. There's gonna be a whole lot of people on your fannies. And just think about that for a little while. And to tell you, to make a little, to prove a little point here, I kind of made up a song. It goes like this. No more transit cuts, no more transit cuts. We need the Saturday bus and dial a ride. No more transit cuts, no more transit cuts. We need Saturday bus and dial a ride. I said no more transit cuts, no more transit cuts. We need Saturday bus and dial a ride. No more transit cuts, no more transit cuts. We need Saturday bus and dial a ride. Yeah.
Okay, that's
okay.
You're done.
And that's all, folks.
That's it for the public comment. We are adjourned.